We're in the middle of the second parak of Kriya Shema. We're trying to give an overview, a glance at some of the themes of Kriya Shema. So obviously the big differentiator between the first parsha of Kriya Shema and the second parsha of Kriya Shema is mitzvos, as we spoke about in the previous conversation, I think this past Wednesday. But the second big differentiator, and second big discrepancy, which is of course a product of the mitzvos, is the whole drama of Eretz Yisrael and non-Eretz Yisrael. So, v'hayim shemot tishmol mitzvayi sher nochim mitzav eschem ayom. You'll reach success via saftad degonecha, v'tiroshcha v'yitzerecha, v'yachalta v'savata. And if not, yishemur lachem, pen yiftel levavchem, v'sartem v'avaritem, Elohim machim yishtach v'sem lohem, v'charaf Hashem v'chem, v'yitzaras ha-shemayim v'lo yiyem atar. So that's the bris, and it sounds like a bris just like Bichukosai, and just like Kitavo, and to a degree just like Hazinu. But of course, the back end of not following the Kodesh Baruch Hu's mitzvos is not just v'yatzaras ha-shamayim v'lo yeh matar, but v'avadetem meira mi'al haretz ha-tovar sher Hashem ha-kech ha-tzeh lecha. You will v'avadetem meira. So here, all of a sudden, the specter of Gullus enters into the conversation. Obviously, it has no place in the first part, which is very abstract. It's about theoretics, about emuna, about yichud Hashem. Here, it's brass tacks, bottom line. You fulfill mitzvos, v'yasavta degonecha. You don't fulfill mitzvos, yishem bur lechem. So a couple of things to talk about, this whole galus and recovery from galus in the end of the second parak of Kriya Shema. First of all, here we have a term that doesn't really appear anywhere else in Tanakh regarding galus. It appears one other place in Tanakh. What are the terms we normally associate with galus? So the obvious term is galus, to be sent out of your home. Another term is, let's say, to be punished from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be scattered amongst the Goyim rather than to be concentrated as one people. So many different images of Golos, and each image is associated with a different verb. But here, Va'avadetem. Now you would think Va'avadetem means we lose the land. But it doesn't say Va'avadetem Misaretz, Va'avadetem Hiram Mi'al Haaretz. So the verb is not describing the relationship that you have with the land, that you'll lose that. It's describing the actual people. You will be lost. So this is a whole new definition of galus, again, that doesn't really appear anywhere else in Tanakh. The only place it appears is a very familiar one in Yeshaya Chavzayin, Uvo ha'uvdim me'eretz Ashur, ha'nidachim me'eretz Mitzrayim. The people in Ashur are lost. Okay, nidachim means they're pushed aside. Again, that's a different version of galus. But here the term of ovdim is to be lost. So it's a very bleak and dark picture of what it means to be in galus. You don't always feel that you're lost in galus, but Hashem is telling us, va'avadetem mehira, uvah ovdim me'eretz Ashur, va'nidachim me'eretz Mitzrayim. Of course, sometimes the worst way to be lost is to not think you're lost. You know you're lost and try to find your way back. You don't think you're lost. There's an old Hasidic of art, the difference between ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur v'hanidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim. Ashur and Mitzrayim are not places on the map. Ashur and Mitzrayim are two different modes of galus. There are some people who are in Egyptian-like galus. Egyptian-like galus means suffering, can't leave, Russians, Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim in Al-Pi Kabbalah means boundaries, limitations, min ha-metzar. So they can't leave because they're being persecuted. They're not being allowed to travel to Eretz Yisrael. Remember, a lot of people ask, why did the Jews make Aliyah in this century or that century? There's no way to get to Israel. Even if they got to Israel, they would find 8 or 9 people living in Yerushalayim, as the Ramban found. But you know what it was like to get to Eretz Yisrael in the 15th century, the 14th century, the 15th century? The only way they knew to get there was by boat. And Jews weren't allowed on boats. In most Christian land, it was prohibited to take a Jew on a boat. Of course, they had to take Jews in the boats for financial reasons. They're good businessmen. But it was always a look one way, do the other way type of relationship they had with Jews. But at least if you announced that I'm making Aliyah, and you brought your 300 disciples to the port in Venice, good luck getting on a boat. Yeah, it gets better. And then when you got on a boat, you were 50% vulnerable to being attacked by pirates. Now, it's not like the pirates attacked the Jewish boats. Pirates attacked all the boats. When they got on the boats, you know, they hung out with the boat captains. I'll give you a couple Jews. And you know, and the pirates, they're happy to take the Jews because they were wealthy. And they knew that they could take them to any community in the world and they'd be ransomed. Right? You take an Italian captive, you can't take him to Tunisia and expect anyone to ransom. You take an Italian Jew captive, oh, you can land in Yemen and everyone's going to pay a king's ransom to get the Jew out. So it wasn't so easy making Aliyah. So that's the Hanidachim Eretz Mitzrayim. But then the Chassidus Shavart says there's another type of galus which is even harder to get out of. That's not galus of Mitzrayim, but ha'ovdim ve'eretz Ashur. Ashur is people of wealth, people of Osher, people of success. Remember, Ashur was always the wealthiest upper north Lebanon. They had the shipping lanes, the Phoenicians. So it's not just geography, it's history and its concept. So ha'ovdim ve'eretz Ashur. It's easy to make aliyah relatively if you live in Ethiopia, or if you live in France, or if you live in Russia, or if you live in Ukraine. Because you're running away from challenges, difficulties, pogroms, persecutions. What if you live in a very comfortable, I'm not going to chas v'shalom say where Jews are comfortable, but you may know some of those communities where Jews are lost because they're a little too comfortable, and somehow the trail back to Eretz Yisrael is harder for them. So this is an interesting word that doesn't appear anywhere else in Tanakh. Of course, the big drama of this parak and this end is that you will leave Eretz Yisrael, v'avaditem miram mi'al Eretz HaTova, very interesting way to describe mitzvos. Remember, we're still discussing mitzvos. So this, of course, recalls, and the Ramban recalls it, the very famous sheet of the Ramban, Rashi quotes it as well, that when you leave Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvos lose their full status. They're no longer fully blown mitzvos. They're now in the Ramban's very, very extreme formulation. They're practice mitzvos to help you keep yourself, keep you in shape, so that when you come back after a long hiatus from galus, you'll still know how to perform mitzvos in their real way. And you could probably say something a little bit supplementary so that you'll keep your Jewish identity, so you'll be able to come back. So it's not just you're working out so that when you get back on the team after a few months off, you're in good shape. But this is also your way back onto the team because they see you still know how to play. Who knows? If you know how to play, maybe they'll drop you from the team. So here it's not just when you get back on the team, you're a superstar. Of course you're getting back on the team. You just have to be in good shape, but maybe they'll throw you to the D-League. This is a way to make sure you'll still make it back on the team. So that's what the language, v'samtem es divarai ela ale vavchem v'yel nafshechem. It doesn't say performing the mitzvos. It's almost as if, keep the mitzvos close to your heart. Keep yourself in the game. Keep yourself involved in mitzvos, so that when you get back, when you get back to Eretz Yisrael, so the mitzvos, and that's why these three mitzvos are chosen as prototype, where other than tefillin, their mezuzah, the Talmud Torah, which you could say are mitzvahs that are geared towards Jewish identity, even in galus. Tefillin is a way to maintain your Jewish identity. If you think about what are the four or five mitzvahs that maintain personal identity, because remember, identity is built on different layers. There's communal identity, there's personal identity. So what keeps communal Jewish identity? Well, those are easy. Shabbos. Right? You have to live with other people, but you don't have to keep Shabbos on a hilltop. I mean, you can once in a while, but Shabbos is a communal event. Kashrus, communal event. Marital laws, communal events. Mikvah, you don't build a mikvah for yourself. So even though some of these are practices as an individual, Chametz, Pesach, it's a community. What are the individual events that keep Jewish identity? Tefillin, every day you put on tefillin. Mezuzah, every house has a mezuzah, right? That's how the Goyim knew Jewish homes that could attack and pogrom. They found the mezuzah, they defaced the mezuzah in many instances. That's more or less where the minhag of keeping the mezuzah in a box comes from, in part. It's at least embedded in the wall. And of course, Talmud Torah. So the fact that these mitzvos are iterated doesn't say keep these mitzvos shatnez and kilei hakerem and give me another mitzvah that you wouldn't feel what?
Shiloh
haken. Right. Keep these three mitzvos because they have nothing to do with the land. Right, can't keep Truman Maisos into those areas, but keep these mitzvos because the Chovas HaKof, even though they've been downgraded to practice mitzvos, keep these mitzvos. These mitzvos are iconic. Identify, they're existential. They define my identity. Keep tefillin, keep mitzvos, that you'll get back to the land. But when the Torah describes the performance of these mitzvos, v'samtem es divra'ila al levavchem v'al nafshechem, doesn't say to perform them in the same way that you did. V'hayim shema tishmo mitzvosai, in the beginning of the parak, we were in Eretz Yisrael, and then the mitzvos had full blown, according to Rashi, according to the Medrash, and the Ramban in that. Of course, the Ramban is not here. Ramban is back in Bechokosai. That's where the Ramban develops his thesis. But he alludes to it several times throughout the Chiddush Ramban in Veschanan, Lasos came the care of Aretz, and this week's in Parshas Kriya Shema. So this is a whole new conversation that we didn't have in the first parak. The whole new conversation is mitzvos, schar v'onesh, and of course, the ultimate drama is schar v'onesh, Eretz Yisrael and Galus. Okay, tomorrow we'll talk about the end of the parsha. It seems very similar to the first parsha, but there are some signature differences. So we'll try to highlight some of those differences. Okay? Good morning. Have a good week.